Radio Vermont, WDEV, takes no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the House Calls Vermont show host or their guests. The information provided during the House Calls Vermont show is offered only as a public service and should not be used as a substitute for obtaining any professional advice from a licensed professional.
WDEV presents House Calls Vermont. Hosts Jim Bradley and Chris West share their knowledge and expertise on topics specific to the opportunities and challenges of building and renovating in Vermont. Brought to you by Hannon Home Center, Mason Drive, Waterbury, Shamrock Painting, Painting and Custom Wood Finishing, ShamrockPaintingCompany.com. RK Miles, your neighborhood lumberyard with new locations in Barrie, Montpelier, St. Johnsbury, and Waitsfield. Sticks and Stuff and Swanton Lumber, locations in St. Albans, Enosburg, Swanton, Derby, and Middlesex. Curtis Lumber, there's a Curtis Lumber near you. Find where at curtislumber.com. Matt Clark's Northern Basement Solutions for all things basement-y. NorthernNEFoundations.com. Vermont Home Builders and Remodelers Association, homebuildersvt.com. Holly Construction in South Burlington, one call does it all, online at hollyconstruction.com. Your participation is encouraged. Call the listener line with questions at 802-244-1777 or toll free at 877-291-8255. Now, House Calls Vermont with Jim and Chris.
Hey, guys. Happy weekend. Happy afternoon on the Saturday, the 6th of February. It is was my mother's birthday, just among other things. I hope you guys are having a great weekend. Jim is here with me.
Hello, everybody.
And last week, we were finishing up on our passive house discussions. This week, we have a special on a particular pet peeve of Jim and mine about the building industry, not necessarily a building assembly. We're talking about the fact that any one of you could tomorrow, Monday actually, because they're closed on the weekends, but on Monday you could go to the Secretary of State, start a company, and that company could be a construction company, and you could start building tomorrow with no proof of insurance,
none,
no necessary education,
no experience,
and go out and ruin somebody's house and be completely within your at least rights to have a company to
sure.
do it, whether or not you got sued by that person. There are no real regulations in the state to hold nefarious contractors to task. So today we're going to be talking specifically about contractors and how we're going to move forward in the state.
And one of the things we've been trying to do through the Vermont Home Builders Association or the Vermont Builders and Remodelers Association and with Efficiency Vermont and other groups like the Passive House Alliance, the BPPA.
BPPA.
Yeah, exactly. Building Performance Professional Association. We've been trying to do this collaborative effort to make sure that our industry in the state of Vermont is really raising the bar as far as standards are concerned. Not raising the expense, but the performance, the durability of the structure, the health and safety, things you've heard us talk about for weeks now.
The knowledge of the people who are coming to your house, giving you advice on what they want to take your money to do to your house, that is completely not regulated in this state. They could say whatever they want, and as a person without any knowledge yourself, you are exposed to the possibility that they don't know what they're saying.
And to this, the big thing that's important here, we are not trying to take a political bent towards either side of the aisle or anywhere in between. This is just about, in our experience, doing the right thing, making sure that what you're paying for as a consumer, what you're getting in return, and the overall long-term performance of that home or that structure that you just invested in is going to be there. And part of that comes from getting a contractor who is well-qualified, well-educated, and that the state should promote that, if anything, to avoid those unfortunate calls to your state legislator or possibly to the AG's office, Attorney General's office, or OPR, Office of Professional Regulation, to make a complaint or to even, at the worst case, go to court. Because, you know, I've been involved with, Chris has been involved with court cases as expert witnesses to testify what we found wrong. And unfortunately, no one's really ever whole in that situation. You know, yeah, you may prevail, you may win after 6 years or more, but you're never really left whole on the other side. So how do we prevent these problems starting at the very forefront? And part of what we're wanting to do is look at how do we get contractors simply registered in the state. One thing is so interesting is that to be a barber in the state, to cut hair and to do a razor shave,
you need certification
and a license, right? And, you know, and yet there's no regulation for somebody who is putting together one of the most expensive investments that most people will ever make. They're not required to be licensed. Now, granted, there are some phenomenal builders out there who are very conscientious, who do the right thing day in, day out, invest their time and effort to become educated with the latest building science, not just about efficiency, but the durability of a structure, the health and safety. All those things are being done appropriately by a vast number of builders. But then there are those people who have been doing this all their life, 10, 20, 30 years, and say, yeah, this is the way my dad did it, it's the way I'm going to do it, and that's it. And never really up their game. At the same time, there are so many educational opportunities in the state that most contractors are not aware of because the state really doesn't know who they are.
Yep.
And so at the same time, you may have your friend down the street doing a project for you. But let's say the worst case scenario happens. Like I've heard of somebody digging a post hole and then it hitting an electrical line because they didn't call dig safe and it catches their neighbor's house on fire. And there's no homeowner's insurance that will cover that because they weren't responsible for this action. And so yet the builder doesn't have the insurance either. So, you know, all these
things. Or they said they had, and then they gave you a certificate, and then they called the insurance company.
Exactly.
And stopped the insurance in order to save themselves a little bit. This kind of insurance is not that expensive.
No. But when $600-$700 a year for general liability insurance.
Exactly. But we have, the reason that this is so important to us is that we have all of the builders that I know, and Jim and I in particular, and certainly energy auditors, have been in tens of houses that people have been taking advantage of. And the reason that this gets us so upset is that these people who are being taken advantage of have just had trust in a system, and the system has no way of making sure that that trust is warranted.
We do have some calls coming in. We're going to get to those in just a minute. But the one thing is that in the state of Vermont and in New England, we are considered the Wild Wild West.
Yeah. Yeah. I was at the preferred building in Claremont, New Hampshire, and they said, we in New Hampshire see Vermont as the Wild West because there are no laws for contractors.
Yep, and with that, you know, we have that innate independent streak in the state of Vermont.
Yep.
Where I'm a Vermonter, I do what I want to, so don't over-regulate me. I get that, but there's also, there comes a responsibility as a contractor with building science evolving in the sense where there's a better understanding of it, building materials changing every day, the expense of those materials, how they go together as a system, how is that going to perform well, how it affects health and safety, all these things have to come into play. And if you're just doing the same things you always have done and you don't take advantage of some of those educational opportunities out there, you're not providing your clients really what they are looking for. And so we're here to hopefully be able to bring this to the table this year in the state legislature. It's coming up again under the contractor registry bill. This is just one key component, and we're going to speak to others, that is coming up again to see if this system can be put in place. Now, we don't just need another list of contractors. We don't just need to know who all the contractors are. We need an effective tool that will provide for the consumer protection of having a contract to do the work, having the right insurances, having the appropriate continuing education to make sure you're staying abreast of the latest changes in the market. Those are simple asks. And, you know, Chris and I do it. Other builders do it all the time on our own outside of the state of Vermont. You know, we go to national accreditations and certifications, and we do that. And yet we can offer that to our clients.
Yep.
But there's others who are not. And yet it's easy because so many of these, we just finished this last week, the Better Buildings by Design conference that's put on by Efficiency Vermont.
Great conference, by the way.
Yeah, and you just finished up a three-day learn sessions, basically, instructional instructional sessions that you can learn the different latest advancements in the trades and what these products do and what marks we're trying to hit. And so those educational opportunities are out there. This isn't the only one. But how do we have a clearinghouse for that information so builders can actually find these resources? A little bit later, we're going to have Representative Scott Campbell on and after our first break, and he's going to be able to speak to some of the legislative items that are going forward. But first, right now, we'll go ahead and take a call. We have Jim in Irisburg. Jim, go ahead with your call, please.
Hey, you guys, I really like your show. I missed it last week, but I've got a little question to ask you. How about in order to get a mortgage, you have to have a licensed anybody, journeyman, electrician, repairman, carpenter. How about a law passed? You can't get a mortgage unless the people that are working for you are licensed.
Yeah, that is a wonderful idea. And I have been on two of the advisory boards for the looking at the next edition of code. And oftentimes the people in the advisory committee had said, we need to make, what is it called? A marketable, there's a technical term.
Title.
Marketable title. So
they don't want a title defect.
They don't want a title defect. And every time we bring up, but wait a second, you've got this code, but you have no teeth to enforce it. We want enforcement. Every time we say that, we get, people in other parts of the other stakeholders, as they call them, the real estate agents, the mortgage bankers, they all say, no, that is not, that's a no-go. And I agree completely. I think you're absolutely right. We need the courage to actually put some teeth in some of this.
Right.
And I think putting something into exactly what you're saying there, Jim, is where we should go. However, my take on the legislature in Vermont, I've been living here now 10 years, is that they're very libertarian, but they're also often progressive. And what they do is they make all of these rules, but they have no regulations on how to enforce it. And that gets us nowhere.
And with that, Jim, one thing to consider, too, is, once again, that independent spirit of Vermont. A lot of people are DIY, do it yourself. And so I don't want to preclude that from happening, but I also want there to be that resource for everybody to be able to glean as much as they can from the proper way of doing things. It's why we're doing this show. We're getting paid 10 times zero to do the show.
Twice.
Which is zero. Exactly. And so we're doing this because this is not just a pet peeve, as Chris mentioned earlier. This is a passion.
Yeah.
Because we've sat across from too many people like yourself, have to explain to them why their house has failed. They've got sickness in the house, a building durability issue. We're going right after the show to another one where the house is a little over 10 years old. To almost $1 million house completely failing, and because of the black mold and everything else, because somebody didn't set out to do a bad job, but that's what the result was. So we want to prevent this from happening and have people to have that opportunity to avoid the cliff, if you will, instead of driving over it.
Yep.
Okay, well, I'll get off and let somebody else come on, but it's a great show, and I look forward to it every week.
Thanks very much, Jim. And by the way, if you miss a show, you can go to the WDEVradio.com and look under programs. All of the podcasts are there. You can listen to them. You can also go to our YouTube channel. Just do a Google search for House Calls Vermont YouTube, and that'll bring it up. We have videos of us in the booth actually talking about this with graphics. Thank you very much, Jim.
And right now, we have another call from Forbes in East Corinth. Go ahead, Forbes, with your question.
Hi. Yes, I did. A homeowner getting work done in any capacity. What's required? What should they have in hand as far as insurance goes? And how does their homeowner's policy mingle with this too?
Well, a lot of times the homeowner's policy, that'd be a tough get, quite honestly, if there was an issue, unless you're actually doing a new build and you have a builder's risk policy, which, a lot of my clients, we make sure that they do have that if we're doing a large-scale project. That way you're sharing some of the responsibility, because let's say something happens during construction and everything goes south, you make sure that you have that investment protected. But on the other side of things, if you're just going out to perform work in somebody's house, you need to have usually what's customary is a $1 million, $2 million policy.
Yep.
So you have a $1 million general liability policy with with a $2 million each occurrence. And some people even have an umbrella to a higher amount. But like we said, to do that for most people in their normal operations, home improvement or even some remodeling work, you're looking at roughly $600 to $700 a year for that. That's not workers' comp now.
Nope.
But that's just if a person's in business for themselves to get that level of protection. It's not that hard to get, and it's easy for you to ask for. If you just ask a simple question, hey, can I have your insurance company send me over a certificate of insurance along with your contract or signed proposal?
Yeah.
If they balk at that, that's something to watch out for right there.
That's a red flag.
That'd be a non-starter for me.
Absolutely.
So that's what I would ask for at a very minimum.
And very important to split these out, because if you're talking about an electrician or a plumber or any other group that is, falls under the Office of Professional Licensing in the state, those have to have those types of insurance or they're not allowed to operate. We're really just talking about general contractors who do home improvement or construction work. So great question there, Forbes. Thank you very much. Is there anything else?
Yeah, subcontracting. Let's say a general comes in to do something and subcontracts certain things out. How are things covered that way?
Short of having better regulation through state avenues, the thing that as a consumer you want to watch out for is that, yes, you have a general contractor, but then the general contractor, when they get audited each year, they have to provide the actual proof of insurance for all their subcontractors. So you just want to make sure that, hey, it's a simple ask there as well. If you're having some electrical work done and plumbing work done, to get that, it's a quick phone call or a 10-second email to their insurance company that sends it right to you. You're named as additional insured usually on that certificate, and it's an easy ask.
So, you'd want to ask for a list of the subs and have them provide. I mean, it is a lot of work for the homeowner. You wouldn't think.
It's easier to ask up front, though, than in case something goes south and then your attorney's asking and then they don't want to give that to you. We've seen that happen, too. So when the relationship and the marriage is still good and on great footing,
get the information.
You ask for the information up front. Ask for that, not prenup, but ask for that insurance certificate up front so you have your interest better protected for sure.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
But today, it was really important for us to have somebody who I've come to know in the state legislature, Representative Scott Campbell out of St. Johnsbury. He is spearheading an effort to bring the contractor registry bill back to the forefront and to help this go forward. And Scott, welcome today, and thank you for taking the time to join us on today's show.
Quite welcome. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear, sir, or as they say in the military, 5x5. So,
okay.
But certainly you've seen a lot of this. You know what the temperature is or the pulse is at the State House for some of this, and you've heard some of the reasons for, reasons against this type of thing. Could you fill us in a little bit, our listeners, and what you're seeing as the status right now, the contractor registry and the need for it?
Well, bill's been introduced. It's been referred to a committee, the Committee on General Housing and Military Affairs. I have been in touch with some of the members of the committee, and I'm hoping that it's going to get a hearing. You know, there's a lot of bills introduced, and which ones get taken off the wall and actually talked about are the ones that move forward. So this concept passed the Senate. It's debated in committee and then on the floor and passed the body last session. And the bill that I introduced this year is basically the same bill. It added a few items that were talked about in committee, in the House committee last year when they took up the Senate bill, and added also a section called findings, which is sort of the reason for doing the bill.
Sure,
but other than that, it's basically the same bill. I'm hoping that it's got a good chance.
Sure, and you have previous experience as a contractor yourself. So, what are some of the things that you've seen out there as well that would compel you to say, "Hey, this is needed"? And
good idea.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, I have been a contractor and building designer. I also managed a weatherization program for about 12 years, and another program that promoted energy efficiency in apartment housing, affordable apartment housing.
Sure.
Provided consulting and incentives. That program is called 3E Thermal, and it's still available statewide. My experience is really in trying to get contractors to understand what it is we mean when we're talking about energy efficiency and energy performance and whole building energy performance and all those terms. Especially with 3E Thermal, I found that, that, you know, the architect, those projects quite often had architects and engineers and general contractors involved. You can have the architect specify something in the specs and on the drawings.
Sure.
You can have a contractor bid on it, but actually getting it installed is the hard part.
Yeah. Getting it installed right.
Well, you know, I'm not sure why, Scott, that's so hard, because we have such a robust inspection and verification set up in the state of Vermont, right?
Sarcasm there. Sarcasm alert.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we don't have any inspection. We have building codes. We've had building codes for over 20 years. A lot of contractors don't even know about them because there's
sure.
I'm sure you've talked about this before. There's no penalty if you don't follow them. So, Jim, as you remember, summer of 2019,
mm-hmm.
we held a series of workshops and heard from several, I don't know, 24 different organizations. And one of the main things that we heard everybody talk about was the need for education.
Yes.
In the construction industry. So I look at this bill, which, you know, it's sort of promoted as an anti-fraud bill, and it is that. Getting contractors registered is a way of dealing with the issue of construction fraud. But I look at it as an opportunity to provide education to contractors about, first of all, there are codes, and here are some training opportunities that you can learn how to comply with the codes, and also some certification opportunities so you can advertise to your customers that, gee, I understand this, and they provide you with a leg up over the competition. So,
I think
it's really important from that point of view.
Yeah, Scott, Chris West here. Nice to meet you over the radio. What's I know the bills change numbers when they're reintroduced. What's the actual name of this bill at this point?
This is Bill H-157.
157.
The title is, what is it called? An Act Relating to Registration of Construction Contractors.
Pretty straightforward. What's the process from this moment to when it's going to be voted on in committee or be heard in committee? What can our listeners do to help?
Yeah, who do they contact? What numbers? Who do they email? That type of thing, because I know there's a lot of stories out there, and how do they get in contact?
Well, the chair of the committee that it was referred to, the committee is the House General Housing and Military Affairs. Sounds like a catch-all. It kind of
sure.
is. The chair of that committee is Representative Tom Stevens from Waterbury. So you can look him up on the legislative website. It's very easy. It's just legislature.vermont.gov. His address, I won't even try to get into that. You can look him up on the on the website,
and we'll put it in the information on the YouTube channel as well.
Yeah. So the thing would be to look him up and contact him and say, hey, I'm a builder. I'm a homeowner. I'm a building owner. I'd like you to take this bill up and talk about it.
You know, one thing that I've heard as pushback a little bit from this in the last session was from contractors, and some of them said, this is just going to be too expensive, and really it meters out to about $37 a year. So let's say less than $40 a year for somebody to be on this registry that can then promote their business and their certifications at the same time. But with that being said, my concern is, in the National Association of Home Builders has mentioned some of this, and some of these local contractors have. Are we just paying more fees to the state to get on another list that then will have no teeth to it? It's not going to offer any better consumer protection. It's not going to offer any better education.
It's not actually going to get the bad players off the field.
Not level the playing field to where you definitely have to have the right insurance or contracts or everything else. I mean, what is your take on that? And how do we get some safeguards in place, you know, in this legislation for sure?
Well, right now we don't have a list of contractors.
Sure.
So, when COVID hit and the health department called up the Secretary of State's office, the Office of Professional Regulation, which is the office that handles these sort of thing, to find out how do we get in touch with contractors about what safe practices are during COVID. Well, they couldn't say because there's no list.
That's a great point.
They don't
point.
Have a list of all the contractors. Yeah. So, you know, safety protocols is another big reason to do this.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the fee, just because I don't want people to be shocked and disappointed. The fee for individuals is, well, there's sort of a phase-in period. It's going to be $50, but $25 if you do it by March of 2022.
Okay.
And the fee for businesses will be ultimately, I think it's $200, but it'd be a little bit less if you do it by March 2022. That's how it is written now. Of course, bills get changed once
Sure.
you get into committee. But anyway, it's not nothing, but it's also not insurmountable for somebody who's really in business. There are also requirements about insurance, having liability insurance.
Yes.
I don't know what, there's sort of standard requirements for any registration with the state. Now, this is registration, it's not licensing.
Exactly.
The difference being, with licensing, there's a test of competence, like
yep.
an architect's, architects have to test out.
Or a plumber or electrician, yep.
Or plumber, that's right, you know. So this isn't that. This is just registration. You pay the modest fee, you show that you have insurance, you show that you're square with taxes, things like that. And that's really it. There's also a requirement that there are written contracts, because that's the only way that anybody would know that you've not defrauded somebody, is if you put something on paper and then you perform. And the Office of Professional Regulation will provide contract templates for anybody who doesn't have one already.
Sure.
So it's not really that onerous.
No.
Now, as we talked about earlier, I've been a contractor. I've hired contractors, on a handshake deal, and I feel like I know what I'm buying when I'm hiring a contractor. But a lot of people who don't have any experience in the business don't.
Exactly.
So I think it's really important from that point of view too.
So one of the things that comes to mind, first of all, fantastic that you're moving ahead on pushing this legislation forward. If I just soup to nuts, if I was, Bob Normal, and I called the SOS and registered my company and put my $35 down to make a company, there's no requirement in the bill saying that because I'm choosing that particular industry that I have to then register with the list, right, the certification. What's the proposed mechanism for getting as many, if not all, people who are out there swinging a hammer in a building company to be a part of this program?
I'm not quite sure what you're asking. Do you mean people who are working for another?
No.
Okay, so basically, if you're a company out there, Scott, what Chris is asking is, what compels a contractor to be a part of the registry?
Right.
Is it a requirement that if you're going to do the business in the state of Vermont, that you're going to be on there, or you just won't be included in the registry? What is the impetus behind that?
Oh, good question. There is a requirement. What's the penalty, you're going to ask? Let's see. A person who does not register is engaging in an unauthorized practice pursuant to statute. So I'd have to go look up and see what that statute says in order to tell you what's going to happen to you. But you know, it's required.
And so there are some teeth in this.
There are some teeth in it.
Yeah.
And that's a level of consumer protection, because I've heard anything at the State House and in some of these court cases is that Vermont is big on consumer protection. So that was why it was always such a puzzle to me to figure out why wouldn't they want something like this in place. And, for contractors, I'll just say again, yes, owner's regulations can make things more expensive. I understand that. But this really, what the goal is to know who's out there, provide these educational opportunities, because, by default, every 3 years, the energy code ramps up.
Yep.
And as Representative Campbell mentioned, we don't know who those contractors are to let them know that it is happening. They may not be aware, so the consumers don't know what to ask for. And then at the same time, these trainings that are being offered through associations like Efficiency Vermont
and Sion,
down in southern Vermont with Guy Payne's group, are free most of the times. And so with that, there's no cost except the time investment to make yourself better educated. And so really, there's a lot of items in place already to make this happen, but in my estimation, it's fragmented. And so it's having these things coalesce together, get a good starting point for this, and get us off the ground and get it across the finish line for a contractor registry. It just makes sense to myself.
Agreed. Completely agreed.
Yep. I want to add, too, that I'm not the only one pushing this. Actually, the Office of Professional Regulation at the Secretary of State's office has a bill that they submit every year that updates regulations to, you know, sort of whatever needs to be fixed. And this topic is the top of their list this year. They commissioned what they call a sunrise report. In other words, why do we need this report? 3 years ago, I think it was. And they came up with a long list. You know, it was about probably something like 12 or 15 pages or something of information about why it's necessary to have a contractor registry. And that document is available on the state's website as well. And, you know, their impetus is fraud protection and all the things that you said about protecting consumers.
Well, Jim and I were very happy when the state attorney general was bringing it up as well. Mm-hmm. T.J. Donovan brought up the cases that they're getting at the AG's office about fraud in.
And it's beyond anecdotal at this point in time.
Yeah. Well, Jim and I have you know, tens of stories to tell about people being taken advantage of by contractors. And by the way, as a member of the Vermont Builders and Remodelers Association, we have a code of conduct that our members are supposed to be signing and following, which includes most of the things that you're talking about on your list. So we are 100% behind what you're doing, and we'll definitely get that. I'm interested in that Sunrise report. I'd love to see what the OPR was talking about, and I'll dig that up and put it on our website as well. But any final words, Scott, about this? Is there anything else that we can do to activate our listenership to get support for this?
Well, that's it, activating the listenership. I would imagine that the folks who listen to your show are already interested in how to do a better job. And
sure.
Most of us who've you know, gotten in the contracting and building business have just learned from our elders. That's how I learned.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I was first a laborer pushing a broom, and then I was pulling nails, and then I was you know, figuring out what 16 inches on center meant, and you know, and finally I'm running my own crew. But that's, you know, that's not really a good enough way to learn. There's a lot more to how buildings operate, as you guys know, than just, you know, slapping up a wall.
Yep.
So, you know, I think it's really important that we look for ways to improve the construction industry generally. And as you also know, buildings are, I think, this is the second largest cause of greenhouse gas emissions.
Sure.
And making buildings tighter, as we are, improves that, but it also has other implications for the dynamics inside the building, indoor air quality and everything else.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Singing our song.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Scott, so much for joining us this week, and we look forward to other opportunities as we move forward, and maybe we can revisit this in the coming weeks, for sure.
Yeah, we'd love to hear any updates, and thank you again for being a part of this very important
initiative
at the State House.
Well, you're quite welcome. Thank you for your interest. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, you have a good rest of your weekend.
Thanks.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Yep.
And so, you know, the question comes up is, can this work? And I've pointed to several times when we've had listening ears that the state is already helping to fund a similar organization that I don't think gets enough praise or enough attention, because other states, as my colleague Chris has mentioned, are envious of what we have here in this state as a resource, and that's through Efficiency Vermont.
Yep.
And no, I don't have the tattoo across my chest that says Efficiency Vermont.
It's, or on,
even
his,
the t-shirt.
It's on his arm.
It's on my arm. My sleeves are rolled up and you can see nothing on my sleeve. But no, I just have been a partner with them for the past 16 years plus. I think it's almost 17 years now. And believe in their mission. Believe in them as a resource from an educational standpoint, from a model of saying, listen, we already got a database in place that tracks our contractors. They have a code of ethics that they signed.
They are vetted.
They are vetted. They have to have insurance. Oh, my gosh. And if they're customer complaints, they'll research them and find out whether they can still be a part of the network. They also offer the contractor some marketing opportunities by being able to post your certifications online. And I've benefited from that so many times when somebody says, well, yeah, I had a list of people to call, but I saw what you had available, so I went with you, and that's where we're going. That's a great marketing tool. So they have this database to actually track projects long term to make sure that they're actually getting the work done and the customers are getting what they pay for and they're getting the performance results on the other side. So this entity that's already in the state is a great model, if not a great resource, that we can mirror or at least augment for this to happen and to take place. And so it doesn't mean that we have to reinvent the wheel. Your tax dollars are already helping fund such an organization. So how do we best improve upon that? The big thing is going to be the public service announcement or getting the customers or the clients in Vermont understanding of where they go for this resource. Because a lot of people will say, sure, I just hired the guy down the street because I saw him outside of somebody else's house, or I saw their sign, or I saw their emblem on their truck, which is great. Yep. I benefited from that too. But at the same time, if you're going to find out who is actually on the registry, who is in good standing with the state, who doesn't have these issues, you know, it's a great place to go, but you've got to be aware of it at the same time. And that's why we're using this sounding board, if you will, to be able to get this out there and to let you know that this is something that we really should get behind and support. Now, what we don't want to have happen, I came from California originally years ago. That's where I grew up. 300 different forms of licensure that exist for contracting trades, and it just makes it impossible to get
cumbersome, I think.
Very cumbersome is a great way to look at it. Over in Massachusetts, I think we have 5 or 6. You know, that's one of the, you know, to have different types of licensure.
And there's a huge gap both in California and in Massachusetts between commercial and residential.
Yep.
Commercial is a completely different rule. The reason is because there's a lot of money involved, and everyone who's involved is a professional who has to defend what they're doing in front of their own professional boards, right? Mm-hmm. Then once you get to that level, there's never a question about liability. The liability lines are very clear. When you get down to, you know, you as a homeowner hiring a contractor to replace your roof, and they don't take the time to do it right, you're just stuck holding the bag until we get this type of thing in place.
And if you have a proper legal instrument, called a contract. It can protect both parties. And so I know in Texas, through the National Association of the Home Builders, they had model contracts that allowed for there to be proper protections, not only for the consumer, but for the contractor. So where the contractor can say, well, geez, that's going to really expose me or put me in a bad light, whatever. Listen, it helps the whole industry, and that's what it's about. And where people would say that this would add too much to the cost because we're trying to make things more affordable, as I said, Efficiency Vermont has a system that's already in place that is working, and it hasn't cost me anything more to be a part of that organization. It's helped my clients. And at the same time, though, it is, you know, granted, I pay for continuing education myself if they're not free. And so you have that investment, but that has paid for itself time and time again because people have sought us out because of what we brought to the table.
Professional development is a part of any professional's responsibility.
Exactly.
If you are not spending a certain amount of money, whether it's $200 or $10,000 a year to learn more about how to do your thing right, then you are not at the cutting edge of what's going on in your industry, and you are doing a disservice in the people that you're selling services to.
There are so many other items that are being brought before the State House and in the state, discussion topics that are out there that are really important to several different organizations. And once again, I think several of these coalesce and can be brought to the table to check all the boxes at the same time and really get as much done proactively and productively as possible. And I just want to talk about a few of those, because right now, through this whole COVID situation that we've been in, there has been federal monies coming to the state for educational purposes. And there's a lot of concerns that people have on several levels. One is going to be the contractor registry. The other is going to be workforce development. And whether that's workforce development if you're in, you know, high school level, or if you've already graduated college even, and you're looking for work transition maybe out of the military, out of the hospitality field where those jobs have dried up and you're looking to transition into something else, we're looking at, you know, what type of programs can you transition into and what type of training opportunities exist. One of the things that I wanted to float by or have people consider was the fact of if some of this money is available, and Efficiency Vermont noted that they had an extra pot of money over the last 2 years that ended on December 31st, 2020. That dried up, but during that time that it was going forward, it tripled the number of jobs that were completed from weatherization and home improvements you know, throughout the state, and that just really accelerated their program, but that was a finite amount of money. So if we're able to look at this on the broad brush, broader scale, and see that a lot of people are looking to improve the goals and reach the goals for the climate change initiative. They're looking for opportunities for workforce development. They're looking for, you know, transition programs for people out of one industry into another. And they're looking to, you know, be able to provide funding for people to do some of this work, weatherization work, if you're moderate to lower income levels. And so with that, if we can readjust some of these funds into a robust apprentice program that would allow for people who are, you know, business owners who are engaged in hiring people and training people into these fields, that use real on-the-job training type resources, such as somebody's home, to be able to affect these changes, to make them more weatherized and efficient, then that helps us reach some of those goals, if you will, towards the climate change initiatives. At the same time, it allows for the proper checks and balances, because usually these houses have to be have an energy or home performance assessment with blower door testing, infrared camera scans, things of that nature, and it's helping verify that the work is actually being prescribed appropriately and carried out appropriately. So on several levels, you're going to be able to get everything in place if the money's put in the right direction. My concern is that if we get a impetus of money, that it might just be thrown in one direction, get used up quickly, you don't achieve verifiable results, and where are you after it's all gone? Do you have anything that remains? Is anybody more trained than they were before? Is anybody in a better position than they were before? Or are they just a little bit more comfortable in their homes, but they don't have a job? or they, you know, something like that. So I think if we can marry these items together, it's a simple ask. We do have proven metrics that allow for this to work through different programs that already exist in the state, one of those being Efficiency Vermont's program and their EEN partnership with contractors. If we could do this and allow this to happen, and people like yourselves out there would be more vocal to this discussion, add your voice, I think it could be really helpful and we can get a lot further down the road.
Not surprisingly, Jim brought, we have a number of different problems in Vermont that we can help alleviate with a program like this. We have a flight of our youth, right? We're trying to keep our young people here, but there's no affordable housing. There are no good jobs for them.
Exactly.
Most of the high schools are pushing people to go to college right out of high school, which for some people is a great idea, but it's certainly not the perfect fit.
It's not the brass
every student.
Yeah, it's not the brass ring for everybody.
And what we from my point of view, from Jim's point of view, the Education Committee, from the Home Builders and Remodelers Association, the VBRA, we've been interested in working with the state to set up programs where we are at the days where, you know, you can look at your college, you can look at a possible
job fair.
That's the word I was looking for. And we want to get builders at these job fairs. We want to start showing people that if you are an 18-year-old kid and you're getting out of high school, you can start working right out of high school at an apprenticeship with a builder and learn the trade, and within 2 years, you can be making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year.
And oh, gosh, the whole discussion about the minimum wage being $15 $15 an hour, try to find a contractor who can get an entry-level person at $15
an hour. $15 an hour.
It's well above that. So, I mean, the trades are paying phenomenally well compared to historical data. And so it's really, like Chris said, it's a great resource. It's not just about swinging hammers. That's vitally important. But it's also understanding how the building works as a system.
Yep.
And so this continuing education, I mean, every 3 years, at a minimum, I've got to have 30 credit hours. Every 3 years.
For your BPI.
That's just BPI.
Yeah.
And then there's also
Building
the Passive
Performance
House.
Institute.
Yeah, so there's that, and there's other organizations that require this continuing ed, and usually I surpass that. So for somebody else who's joining this, you're going to be continually educated because we are continuing to evolve in our industry, and so those opportunities will be there. But at the same time, you can start working in the trade immediately and getting some real experience underneath your belt at the same time.
And by the way, if you are someone yourself or know someone who is interested in entering the building trades, get in touch with us.
Exactly.
We can find apprenticeship situations. We can find, there's plenty of work. There is the, one of the things that COVID has done for Vermont is it has exploded the real estate market. You cannot keep a house for sale for any length of time because people from Massachusetts, people from New York, people from cities are saying, you know what? Offices may be a thing of the past. Let's move to Vermont. So I was shocked a couple of months ago when one of our colleagues from the VBRA, Elise Pauly, was saying, I am swamped. All of my people are swamped. She's a real estate agent. And she was like, we are just flat out the whole time. And then I'm talking to builders, and builders are like, we're out to September. This is in like November of last year.
Exactly.
They're booked through to September and sometimes into a year after that. So there's plenty of work. It's good work. You'll learn a good trade and you will make good money being a builder in Vermont. And if you're interested, we have our email at housecallsvt@gmail.com. If you have a question or you think you know someone who might be interested, get in touch with us. We've also been working with a number of other organizations throughout the state, not only the VBRA and Efficiency Vermont, but this, the Sustainable Energy Outreach Network in Southern Vermont in Brattleboro,
yep.
And working with Peter Yost, putting together a building science curriculum for builders. And this is the way to move forward. The way to move forward is to get that contractor registry up and running so that everyone who's swinging a hammer is on the registry. I loved it when Scott Campbell said, I said, what happens when somebody is swinging a hammer and they're not a part of the registry? He said, that's an unauthorized practice. Boy,
exactly.
Wouldn't it be great if I could walk up to a builder who isn't on the contractor and say, you have to stop working right now because you're not allowed to until you join this registry. Wow, what a change that would be in the industry.
Yeah, and you know, another thing that's important too is I had a discussion with our legislative body for the VBRA, along with Sarah Buxton with the Department of Labor, and she is the director for workforce development. Once again, that's Sarah Buxton, and she was floating the idea of a pilot program similar to what I just mentioned earlier, because she liked the idea and said, "Hey, maybe we can get some funding for that to let's see where it goes, so that we could hopefully get the proper training." On the job type of training with an apprentice program that offers consumers more completed projects or funding to make those projects happen, while at the same time developing so many other areas within our industry. So there are people who are listening, but your voice needs to be heard at the same time because you're calling the right people. So,
yep.
You know, in once again, as Representative Campbell said, there's Representative Tom Stevens who's heading up the committee that is reviewing the contractor registry bill. So,
and he represents
Waterbury. Exactly. Where the show is coming from,
yeah,
originating from.
Probably walking distance from where we're sitting right now.
So,
well, to be honest, you know, South America is within walking distance, but reasonable.
We don't have that much time, Chris. But but with that, I would say giving Representative Tom Stevens a call or an email, you know, voicing whatever side of your support,
yep.
There would be, whether for or against. And then at the same time, once again, Sarah Buxton, the director of the Department of Labor Workforce Development Program, because, you know, some of these words have just become political buzzwords.
Yeah, workforce training.
Yeah, workforce training, workforce development, and the problem still exists.
Yep.
Here are some solutions. Here are some workable things that's going to benefit so many different organizations and initiatives all at the same time. if we take the right steps forward, and now is the time to act because the funding is there.
And if you're going to, if you're rightly pointing to, wait a second, don't we have these tech centers throughout the state? Aren't these tech centers supposed to be engaging and getting these students into these programs and streamlining our new workforce into these jobs that are here and available? And the answer is
they're drying up.
They're a great idea. And the people who work there are dedicated people.
Yes, they are.
But when I was interacting with a number of the people running these programs, they're talking about having 12 students in their program. If we have 12 of these centers and each one of them has 6 students a year going through that program, that's 36 people.
Yeah.
That's nothing. If as a state we really want to develop workforce training for our construction industry, then the training centers the tech centers definitely have to be a part of the equation. But we've got to figure out a way to change the narrative of where we're sending our students after they graduate high school.
And part of that is, you know, we've heard the terminology before, and I don't know if it's still correct to use some of these, but white collar job, blue collar job. There's the green collar job, the job that is out there in the building industry, yes, but also in the building science side of this too, to make buildings more robust, healthy and safe, energy efficient, so that also you're building something that you're not going to be replacing major components of it due to rot within 10 years, 20 years, that it's going to be long lasting. So getting the right people in those positions, it should be a laudable position of employment instead of, oh, well, if you can't go to college, at least you can do this.
Yeah.
That mentality has to change.
Very much so.
You know, and that has to be promoted in the schools, like Chris said, by these guidance counselors to be able to say safely that this is a viable opportunity, not a, well, if nothing else, it's a fail-safe.
If you're too stupid to go to college.
Yeah, and that's not it. We need the smartest. We need some of the brightest out there who can develop new systems. Because once you get your hands in this, once you get on the job and you see how these things are put together and you see where some of the failures lie, that's when those aha moments can come and innovation can come. Not just in the smart house that talks to you, that hooks to your Lexus and, you know, Alexa or whatever. But something,
Lexus and Alexa.
Well, true enough, anymore.
I don't have Alexa.
But something that allows you to build a better system, like the passive house system that we were talking about, and make this less expensive, more affordable, and highly functional, well beyond the 100-year mark. And that's what we're looking for, is those people to be able to see. As parents, you know, you can say, I'll invest in you in this area, and really you have not just a trade, but you have a really viable position that's important to our industry, that's important to our state, that's important to the world at the same time.
I also have been edified by a lot of these young building companies, some of these companies, Cypress Hill, New Frameworks. Mm-hmm. These are companies that are put together by young people who, you know, trained under a regular builder and then said, you know what, I got to take it a step further. I'm not going to build something that's code. I'm only going for high performance or better, and really start pushing the, look, if you come up to me and you say, I want to build a house, you're not going to start by saying, I want to build a house that's super insulated and super airtight and really good and durable into the future. That's something that the professional has to bring to the table.
Yes.
Because you as the consumer just don't know what's going on. You want a house and you don't want it to be too expensive to heat and cool. You don't want it to be, uncomfortable. You want all the right things. You want it to be durable well into 100 years. And you can, at this particular moment, you can call 5 builders and get 5 different opinions about the way to move forward. And that's not what we need as an industry. What we need is everybody to walk up and say, well, you really should build, put your money in the front of this, just like we were talking about with passive house, 15% more expensive, but your heating bills are 90% less, so that you actually are, you know, positive cash flow out of pocket from day one. We need that in Vermont. We need to be moving forward and lauding the people who are doing it right and getting our young people involved through workforce training programs and this certification process, this registry.
Exactly. And once again, just as a reminder, the bill that's coming up for the contractor registry is Bill H-157. So it's a House bill. It's going to be coming to committee here in the next little bit. And this is why we thought it was such a timely show for our listeners to get their voice in the mix, if you will. So remember, that's, and it was Representative Tom Stevens, wasn't
it? Tom Stevens.
Tom Stevens out of Waterbury. He's chairing the first committee. And then as it moves through other committees, there'll be other people that names that will come up, and we'll share those with you either on our website or the radio station. And just know that this, once again, isn't either side or the middle of
We're not telling you what to think. We're just giving you what we think is the information and let you form your own opinion. We're going to be putting that sunrise report
from
the Office of
Professional Regulation, OPR,
so that you guys can take a look at why they think we should have a certification process, a registry for builders, and then you can form your own opinion and get in touch, get activated, get out there, make your thoughts known to your representatives, and let's move this forward. Let's not be the Wild West.
And once again, just go to Efficiency Vermont's website, look at their Find a Contractor network, see how things are listed, how it tells you about the company, how it searches geographical areas, and who's on there and what their certifications are. It's just, this can work, and we really have this opportunity, and we don't want it to be missed. But we thank you for joining us this week. Chris, what do we have for next week?
Next week, we're going to be looking at membranes and tapes. How do we air seal? What are the different ways we can go about air sealing, and what do we recommend as far as where you put your barrier, what perm ratings, what is perm, that whole vapor moving through walls and stuff. We're going to dig into that.
Well, excellent. Well, we thank you all for joining us this week and every week, and look forward to having you as part of the audience in the coming weeks. Have a great day.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Till next week.
House Calls Vermont has been brought to you by Hannon Home Center, Mason Drive, Waterbury, Shamrock Painting, Painting and Custom Wood Finishing, ShamrockPaintingCompany.com. RK Miles, your neighborhood lumberyard, with new locations in Barrie, Montpelier, St. Johnsbury, and Waitsfield. Sticks and Stuff in Swanton Lumber, with locations in St. Albans, Enosburg, Swanton, Derby, and Middlesex. Curtis Lumber. There's a Curtis Lumber near you. Find where at CurtisLumber.com. Matt Clark's Northern Basement Solutions for all things basementy. NorthernNEFoundations.com. Vermont Home Builders and Remodelers Association. HomeBuildersVT.com. Poly Construction in South Burlington. One call does it all. Online at polyconstruction.com. Do join us next Saturday at 12:30 for House Calls Vermont.